Good evening, everyone. My name is John Passapio. I'm a wildlife biologist with the Department of Environment and Conservation, Wildlife Division. I'm up here this evening with Sheldon Anstey, Justice and Safety. We're here this evening to provide some presentations and hopefully have a discussion with you with regard to George River Caribou. In terms of how the evening is going to go, I'm going to present first. I've got a pretty lengthy presentation on the latest science and findings on the herd, and then Sheldon's going to follow me up with some discussion and a short presentation with respect to enforcement issues, specifically to George River Caribou. At that point, we'll have questions and hopefully some discussion. We're not going anywhere, so as long as it takes, we can have that discussion at that time. So we know over time, the herd has gone up and down, as all caribou herds do, without exception. That's the nature of this species. They cycle up and down over decades. The most important thing to say about this graph is the end part here, and it just finishes at 2010, and we're beyond that. But we need to recognize that this time around, times are different. The last time caribou were really scarce, and some of you folks can probably speak to that directly, firsthand, there were not long track snowmobiles, there was no GPS, there weren't airplanes to go find caribou. And the ones that remained or did remain were able to find some refuge and eventually they came back. That is not the case anymore. So for those who would continue to hunt caribou, the ability now exists to pretty much kill every last one. And we need to collectively recognize that and consider that reality. That was not the case in the past. So in this group, we have 29 collars in one group of caribou. There was a time when there were hundreds of thousands of caribou where one collar would represent 10,000 caribou. We got one group of caribou with 29 collars. So that's, in a way, it's good because it means our number is very precise. But in an obvious way, it's very bad that if we have 100 collars and we got 29 of them in one group, that just shows how few animals there are. And unfortunately, these are the results of the last numbers of years. So the numbers of calves coming into the population in the fall is too low. I'll get into some of the numbers there. The adult survival, and back to the gentleman's question about how we calculate, I'll get that into in a minute. We do that with the collars. It also is too low. And the number of large males, like one time George River caribou was famous for two things, the biggest herd in the world. What was the other thing? The biggest antlers of caribou in the world. The number of large males and the percentage of large males is very low, and we think this is a problem. So here's the recruitment graph. And again, recruitment is just the number of calves in the fall. And in the 70s and 80s, when the population was still growing, about 50%, one in every two adult females had a calf with her when the population was growing. But as you can see, it declined, and all the way down to 2012, where it was under 10%. It improved in 2013 and 2014 a little bit. Improved in 2015 as well. So we have some reason to be optimistic about this particular parameter, but we're still a long way from what we know the rate of recruitment needs to be, and that's about 34% just for the population to stabilize. And again, I've got a section on this, but under the current conditions, things have likely changed in that at some point the predators follow the decline of the prey, and the predators do really well, but at some point if the prey becomes too sparse, even the predator populations start going down. Unfortunately, this February we did another classification, and we were disappointed to find that gain that we appear to have made last year may have been lost. So because the classification was done in February, we were expecting about 23 per 100, because of course some are going to die between October and February, and that's expected and that's natural, but we expected that number to be about 23 calves per 100 females, and instead what we found was 18.6. We were and are concerned that that's not the result we had wanted. We had hoped it would continue to rise, but that's not what we found. In general, not just the George, not just the Georgian leaf, but in general, migratory and barren ground caribou, most biologists agree that around 35-36 animals per 100 is a bit of a threshold for at least stability. So as I pointed out in the long-term graph, when the population was skyrocketing upward, it was up at 50 per 100. So still a long way, but about 34-35 per 100 is viewed as a good place to be, at least to start. Anything below that in the population is declining. Between being dismembered and torn apart and consumed and taken away and decomposed, with the exception of skulls and some antlers, all those bones disappear in a couple of years. So people would say, okay, Wildlife Division, if we're down hundreds of thousands of animals, where are all the skeletons? They're gone. They're decomposed. All the sources of mortality happening right now, both human and other natural causes, are resulting in the population going down. It's negative growth. The population, as I showed you on the graphs, continues to decline. 2 years ago, we had 14,200 caribou. 2 years before that, we had 24,000 caribou. Right now, our best estimate is that we're under 10,000. So it's happening extremely quickly. So any hunting at this point is making the population go down further and faster. Same thing with the wolf program. Wolves, of course, are the main predator of caribou. They're the co-evolutionary species with caribou. Caribou can run really fast because they co-evolve with wolves chasing them, and vice versa. So at present, we're only at 3.2 wolves per pack when we count in the pups, which is low. So there's lots of caribou around Maine this winter, and there are, and people have seen them, and there's accounts of 500-700 caribou, and they're right, but there aren't many caribou at all left in the rest of the country. That's the point.
So
the math has become simpler in that respect. So we've got 5,000 or 6,000 caribou, you know, in this area, which is, it's not two-thirds, but it's close to, it's getting there in terms of two-thirds of what's left of the entire herd. But again, the point of this section of the presentation is to be really, really clear that the caribou have not bounced back. Voisey's Bay, compared to a lot of mining projects, has a relatively small impact. Its purpose of the ban is to relieve the herd from hunting so it can recover. You know, lichen and the range had a chance to recover, and then the caribou went up for three decades, and then now they're going down because the range got overused. All the vital rates remain below what they need to be in order for it to increase. February classification, the most recent work we did, showed that we may have lost whatever ground we gained last year. So all those things considered, on March 23rd of this year, the province did announce that the hunting ban will be continued. So it was a formal process to make that determination, and it will be reassessed again as of March 31st, 2017. There'll be another review. Based on everything I've said tonight, clearly the caribou aren't going to bounce back in 2 years. Several decades of several hundred thousand animals inevitably led to a population decline, and there's nothing that was going to stop that. Just like nothing stopped it from going up for three decades. Innu Nation has publicly stated that their intention is to kill 300 males. The fact is, and I've made this statement before, the fact is the majority of killed animals we're finding are females. And that changes the math. That's worse than killing males. So continuance and compliance with the hunting ban has to happen if there's going to be recovery of the herd. The smaller the population gets, the more and more we're getting to a point where there's no return, and the population might not recover, and if it does recover, it's going to take a lot longer to return.
What's that critical point?
Read it here. The reduction of the herd is down to less than 1% of what it used to be over the last 25 years. It's continuing to decline. We had the poor showing in February for any gains we had gained in November, and then we had a complicating situation this winter where caribou were more vulnerable. Put all that together, it's our view that the evidence shows that that point of no return could happen in as little as 5 years. So in all likelihood, there will still be some animals, maybe a few hundred, scattered across the landscape, but at that point, for all intents and purposes, there are no caribou for generations.
I don't live here. They're your animals. Your ancestors, it's your land. But that does not mean I'm not interested. It's my job. It's what I do is to protect wildlife. It's what I swore an oath to 27 years ago, whether it's moose or black bears in the island or it's caribou up here. You know, as I go through this and we get further in, it's important for me to know that you guys understand that this is important for me. I'm not from here, but I take it seriously, and we take it seriously when it comes to protection of all wildlife. When I started as a game warden about 27 years ago, the George River herd was at its peak, or getting there, upwards of 600,000 or 700,000 animals. And, you know, it's down now to 10 or less. Our population on the island of woodland caribou reached close to 100,000, so I'm told 90-something. We had a sharp decline throughout the 2000s, similar to the George. It just went nosedive. It seems to have tapered off at around 33 or 5,000, John. I don't know if you have any more numbers, but it's around there. And we are on the road to recovery due to some drastic hunting restrictions and things like that. This is your land supplement area. We don't have a presence here provincially. It's not for me to put an officer, a wildlife officer here. You have your own wildlife officers, and I guess that's the main reason we're not here. We did have a position in Hopedale, but that was eliminated in the 2013 budget. One of the challenges when you do law enforcement is the size of the land. It's a reality. And getting from point A to point B in time, because law enforcement and catching people who are violating, it's time sensitive. If you get a complaint and it's 2 days after the fact, yeah, you can investigate and collect what evidence you can, but it's a real challenge to eventually wind up in court, which is where you need to be if you're going to curb the illegal activity. Inu from Sheshi killed approximately 40 caribou shortly after the ban was announced. They printed their own licenses, their own tags, which are not recognized by the province, obviously. It was an illegal hunt, as we deem it. The conditions of their license were to kill male-only caribou, which was one condition. And I can tell you that of all the samples we took for DNA analysis, which can tell species and sex and so on, they were almost all female. So, you know, the Inu at that time were openly hunting. They said, we don't care about your ban, we're going to go kill caribou, and we've got our own licenses. So it was easier in a sense for us because it was there. They were killing them right under our nose. I guess what makes me feel good when I go to bed at night is did I accomplish anything today? I think we did, because right now there is no aircraft company in Quebec that I'm aware of, in eastern Quebec, south Quebec, or Labrador, that will fly the Inu to kill caribou anymore because they know they're going to lose their plane. They may not get the next one back. Charges were laid. And it's currently before the courts. The trial has started. We already had a week, and there's another week set for June. So these people are being prosecuted. We charged, I think it was 12 people, and the airline company. So the fact that they cannot fly anymore to kill caribou is saving hundreds of caribou. I know it is, because it's difficult to access the caribou strictly by snowmobile and to kill them and get them back undetected. That file there in 2013 brought it all to light that, look, we're not going to let you kill caribou. We've charged 12 of your people. We took an airplane. We charged the company. So the game is on. You want to do it? You're not going to do it openly. We will catch you. Try to catch you and charge you. Are there caribou still being killed by Inu and others? Yes, no question. Are there caribou being killed on the island part of the province by poaching? No question. But the large numbers that we sometimes hear are being killed, I honestly don't think is happening. We're not finding the kills. But the reports that we're getting of 30 and 40 and 50 killed here and there, we're not finding them. We're going there and there's no kills.
Flying over caribou in very remote country with snowmobile tracks up in the mountains, those people ain't sightseeing. They're hunting caribou. But we didn't find any big slaughters either. But that doesn't mean the animals aren't still being picked off and transported by snowmobile.
From 2013 to present, we're seeing a complete shift of we're going to hunt anyway to everything's quiet, and they're trying to sneak the odd one. And we will continue to try to catch whoever is killing caribou. It's not up to any one person who put a post on Facebook serving caribou stew to defend that, because the burden of proof is on the Crown. You know, we just prosecuted someone in southern Labrador. They had caribou on the restaurant and the menu in Lanseclair. If the impression is that people in Nabashish are openly killing caribou and we're turning a blind eye, it's not happening. We are patrolling there in helicopter. We are responding to pretty much every complaint we get. We're not finding it. We have yet to find one single Inu with a caribou that we can grab and charge. I'm not pointing fingers here, but the three caribou I'm near here that were killed led back to here. So
why is there no enforcement officer on the ground in Nabashish to enforce the ban?
It's a federal Indian reservation. We can't have an office there. We're the province. We can go there and investigate, which we have, and we continue to.
Unfortunately, despite best efforts, we don't know how many they're being killed. And that's a really fundamental and problematic issue. What we do know is that when we go to count caribou, and we're going to do it again this summer, there's going to be a lot less, in all likelihood, this summer than there were last summer. And we know hunting has something to do with that.
There's a general agreement that the minimum number of animals to have a sustainable hunt is about 45 to 50,000. So that's a pretty frightening number considering where we are now and how long it's going to take to get back there. The 45 to 50,000 is the minimum general number where you could start to resume some hunting, and that start would be Aboriginal first. There could be resumption of non-Aboriginal hunt, but that 45 to 50,000, for example, would be males only, and it would be limited. But it would be males only and limited first for Aboriginal people. Then it would be extended to, okay, females as well, Aboriginal people only. It'd have to be substantially higher to be opened up to full hunting again.
Believing everything you're hearing and assigning numbers, And it's not a criticism, but be careful when you say that we know there's 500 killed. We don't know that.
Maybe there could be a designated person within NG to receive calls and initial information from people who find it on the land, just to make it a little easier. The designated person would be set up with the right number, would be set up with the most direct contact, and try to get some traction here, because the reality is, and Sheldon said this in his presentation, too often the information is too old and too third or fourth hand. That's no good. And these guys do their best to get up here in a chopper 4 days later on older information, and they got nothing, even though something may have happened.
You know, the decision to open an office and staff it here, it's way above me. I'm just being upfront with you. And be on the ground. I'm a firm believer of boots on the ground. I mean, I'm a game warden. I spent my life in the bush. Helicopter's not the be-all end all. You need to be there. But a stronger lobby, it helps. I'm not putting it on your shoulders. I'm just suggesting that you guys pull a lot more weight than I do. Just as a point of interest, we have officers in Border Beacon today. It was the first opportunity that we had with this fresh snowfall. Now, I'm just letting you know, we are working. We have officers. When we can go, we do go, and we do what we can. I'll know tonight or tomorrow morning if we got anything.
So, can you please give me your name and position for the record?
My name is Joe Dicker. I'm the Young Yukon Warden.
So what did you think of the session tonight?
It was very informative. I think that, you know, with John and Sheldon here doing their presentation, that we found out what the figures are, where the caribou are, and more or less, I guess, they're more in concentrating our area, and it's disturbing, still disturbing to find out that the numbers are still declining, and that concerns me.
Did you feel your questions and concerns were answered tonight?
With regards to information on exactly the numbers of the caribou itself, like I said, it's informative, and we now have, I don't know if you call it a true figure, but it's an estimated figure with regards to the enforcement of the illegal hunting as such. I felt those concerns weren't answered. It's not us as Inuit beneficiaries that are the ones being charged. It's a lot of people are interested in finding how or what the process is of the provincial government and when they're doing force their laws and what success they're having. It seems right now that, you know, they're still working on cases that since 2013, and that's a little bit frustrating to hear, you know, that, you know, they're not, even though they are in court, they can't tell us exactly what the end result's going to be.
So, speaking of which, what do you think about the enforcement of the Inuit?
Well, we know that they know hunting. That's a given. I mean, everybody in the room that spoke about it suggested that, you know, that we do know it, what's happening. The fact that, you know, they are on a reserve and it's a federal issue. The fact that, you know, they cannot have an office per se in the community because it's on federal property. This tells us, you know, that the enforcement, even though it's could be there, is very limited. And I guess that's telling me that, you know, something like the hunting that's still continuing, they must be frustrated too. I mean, because they don't have really no backup.
What do you think should be done about the hunting by the Inuit?
Well, I think they should look at us as an example. We are doing our part to conserve the numbers or the caribou, and I think that they should take an example from us and do what we're doing. We are doing it for our future generations, and I think that they should seriously think about that, because the numbers are still going down, and that's scary.
What about that 5-year, I guess you'd call it, worst case scenario?
Well, that's still to be seen. I think that 5-year worst case scenario, I think that they should be saying it now. The numbers are still going down. We're down to less than 10,000. According to what the biologists are saying, what are we going to do? Wait till it's gone to a point where it's not recoverable anymore? I think we should do something now.
Would you like to see more information sessions like tonight?
Yes, that's very helpful. I think that also, you know, one person that was missing was tonight was our MHA. He should have been invited so that he could hear what his constituents are saying and what the frustrations they are showing, you know, because it is the province that at the end of the day that's enforcing the ban. He's part of the provincial government, and I think that you should get more bodies up here to do that. And he needs to hear that from the communities that he's representing.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, considering he is provincial.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much.
All right.
I always appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.